He said, sit down, and I did. I guess it was time for me to get up, though. Hey, I'm wondering this morning, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. Boy, isn't it nice to not have the wind blowing us all over the place? We had graduation. Our semester ended on Friday with graduation outside in the parking lot outside the gym. Our guest speaker was George Nye, former governor of Oklahoma, 94 years old. When he got up to speak, I was annoyed. No one kind of stood beside him, so if he started to fall, they could grab him. The wind was so, I mean, for me, I was afraid I was going to get blown over. But anyway, it's good to be with you today. Hey, I'm wondering, to start off today, could I have anyone who's teenage and under come and join me up here? If you're a teenager or younger than a teenager, could you come up and join me up here, please? For just a minute, I'm not going to make you do anything crazy. And you're all wondering about that, right? Come on up here. Anybody else that's not scared to be up here? I was out in the foyer there looking at the photos, and what a good picture, I guess maybe an Easter egg hunt or something. And I just want to say to you guys and to the other younger ones who didn't come because you're afraid, I want to say to you how much you mean to this church. Amen. Could I hear another amen? The church is just so happy to have you as part of the church here. And to have you guys involved, you bring them joy, you bring them happiness. When they see you guys here and you're learning and growing and studying, that it just encourages a church. And I just want all of you to know that you guys have encouraged me from time to time. Some of you come up and say, hey, I remember you said that, or thank you for that lesson. And you guys learning and growing is a blessing to me and the whole church. And I just pray that you'll continue to do that, because it will bless your lives and it will bless so many others. So thank you for joining. Can I pray with us before you go? And we'll have a prayer for you guys, okay? Our Father in heaven, thank you for these young people who are part of this church. I'm so thankful for them, and I know you love them so much, and you're so thankful for them learning about you and living for you. Continue to bless them with strength and courage and faith that they will continue to grow in you and always be with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, you can be seated. Thank you so much. There's nothing quite as beautiful as having kids who are learning about God and serving Him and doing what they can. And I've really been blessed by all of you. Parents, thank you so much for what you're doing with them. Parenting is just, it's not easy. And I was talking with some kind of new parents the other day, or good friends of mine. They said, wow, how did you, I don't know how we did it. Do you guys, the older ones, do you know how we did it? And it may be harder today, but blessings to all of you for what you're doing. I know it's challenging. Thank you for what your involvement in helping your kids to learn about God and to serve Him in a very difficult, it's become more difficult in our culture to do that, but you're doing that. Thank you for that. Nitish, my buddy, is with me again. He's been here since August from India, and he is headed to Tennessee on Tuesday. I'm taking him to the airport Tuesday sometime. He's going to let me know when to be there, and he'll be in Tennessee for a while, but it's good to have Nitish with us again today. Guys, so many people say, I want to be great at something. And so my title of my lesson today is, So You Want to Be Great. There's some things you and I can never be great at, try as we might. I can never be a great sumo wrestler. Could you? No. I looked online at sumo wrestlers. The average weight is about 600 and some odd pounds. And I saw this article. This 657-pound sumo wrestler was wrestling a 170-pound sumo wrestler. I didn't know they were that. I mean, he looked the part, except he was really short. And the little guy somehow got under him and flipped him and won. Unbelievable, but I will never be a great sumo wrestler. Most of you won't either. Kids, some of you, I know when I was a kid, I dreamed about playing basketball, maybe in college. I never did really get into the, I want to be an NBA star. I kind of thought that was beyond me. I guess the average height of NBA is about 6'7". Most of us are never going to get there and be great in the NBA. I don't know how, you have to run in the, for the National Football League, NFL, you have to run a, what, 40 meters. Most of us can't do that. Most of us are not big enough, strong enough. There's a lot of things. I would never be an engineer. Numbers and me, no, they don't go together very well. You know, I still have trouble counting change sometimes. I get to thinking, is this Australian money, American money? What are you saying? Is that a 10-cent piece or is that a 20-cent? I don't know. And so I get kind of confused. Engineering is not my thing. Some of you, it may be. But guys, you know, in God's kingdom, to be great, he says, all of us can be great. Isn't that great that we can all be great in God's kingdom? We don't have to be tall enough. We don't have to be smart enough. We don't have to be anything except have our hearts turned toward him and do what he says he wants us to do. And the things he wants us to do to be great are things we can all do. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I mean, some of us, how many of you, well, don't raise your hand, but think about this. Some of you, you'll be going back a long ways with this one. You're in grade school. Do we still call it grade school? Okay, good. Primary school, whatever we call it here. And they say, let's pick sports teams. Did your heart sink when they said that? Oh, no, nobody's going to want me. I'm going to be the last one chosen. All my friends are going to go. Everybody else is going to go. And I'm going to be standing there against the wall with three other people. In God's kingdom, it's not like that. He doesn't care if you're tall, if you're short, if you're big, if you're little, if you're black, white, brown. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what language you speak. But we can all be great. Let's do three passages this morning. Tell us how to be great in God's kingdom. I'm going to start out in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And if you remember, guys, the setting. Hey, Jeremy, thanks for leading singing this morning, too. Great job. When you led that song, of what was the kind of the camp song, I feel like, you know, the one that I used to sing at church camps, Blue Skies and Rainbows, thank you. We had two or three people in Campbelltown, that was their favorite. I could hardly sing that song thinking of them. Brings back beautiful memories, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 7, what's the context of that? The context is, he saw the crowds, some translations say the multitudes. He went up on the mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to them. He began to teach them. It's a lot of people gathered there. It's not two or three special people. A lot of people from different backgrounds. And I want us to look in chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. Anyone who breaks, Matthew chapter 5, 19, anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Guys, on this, I don't think Jesus is talking about public preaching. I don't think he's talking about public teaching necessarily. I think he's talking to anyone in the multitudes, in the crowds, and telling them, you want to be great? Well, just practice and teach these commands, and you will be great in the kingdom of heaven. Again, he's not saying preach. He's not saying stand up in front of a lot of people. Parents, you teaching your children, you're doing that. Friends, you've taught other people, you're exchanging ideas with other people, sharing God's word with other people. And again, so many of you have talked with your friends, have talked with other people, and you're teaching your children and your family members share things. Whoever teaches and practices these commands are great in the kingdom of God. You want to be great in God's kingdom? Teach his commands and practice them. And he doesn't have to say, you have to have a PhD or master's or bachelor's or any degree. Get into God's words, learn his word, and then teach them to somebody and practice them, and you will be great. Boy, I tell you, that's nice for me because there are a lot of things I wanted to be great at, didn't make it. But in this one, we can teach them and practice it. I'm going to Matthew chapter 18. There's a lot more we could say about each of these passages, but I'm going to go through them pretty quickly. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Why are these guys asking Jesus this question? Who's the greatest in the kingdom? Standing there saying, kind of like this maybe, pointing at the, thinking maybe he was like, "Oh, you are, for sure, you're the greatest." Why are they asking that question? Who's the greatest in the kingdom? And he called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Guys, you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? Humble yourself before God. Don't try to exalt yourself. The one who tries to exalt himself would be put down, but the one that is humble, God will exalt. That very concept, though it's taught several times in the New Testament. You want to be great? Become like a little child. What is a little child like? Well, I had a little child this morning fist bump me at the back. Her brother said, "Hey, she can fist bump now." What's that about? She's learning, isn't she? She's growing. She's learning some different things. A little child often is trying to just help other people. Sometimes they can be a bit bratty. We all get that concept, don't we? But usually a little child, how much do they learn like in the first 5 years? Probably more than they learn in any other period of their life. They're just taking it all in, absorbing it all. Be like a little child. You're learning. A little child usually has very little power. Well, they may have the power of screaming and getting us to do some things that way. But, you know, in Jesus' day, what power did a child have? None. They had no power. They would, in the culture that Jesus lived in, sometimes parents would leave their kids out and let them die. They had no power. No one would take care of them. You know, I had a friend who worked in Burkina Faso, and he said if a child got sick, there was a hut in the middle of the community. I mean, I couldn't even believe this. I'd never heard it before. And he said the child was sick. They would take the little child and put it in the hut and listen to it die. It would just cry and cry and scream and cry. But no one would go and get the child out. They had no power at all. They had no power. Well, their mission group, their mission team, fortunately, changed that practice, where now the little kids are taken care of. But little children without power, eager to learn, often have a sense of humility. I love being around little kids. I loved having the guys join me on the stages. It's just something beautiful about a little child. And Jesus says to these people who are asking about being greatest, unless you change, there must have been a little bit of fighting, a little bit of jockeying for position. And Jesus is saying, no, you guys have to change. It's not all about what position you have. It's about being humble, powerless. And then he's going to go on and tell us another thing. So, again, humble yourself if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Guys, can all of us do that? Can all of us do that? Jesus is not asking us something that's impossible, that takes more power than we can muster. We can all humble ourselves and become like a little child. He says, you do that, you'll be the greatest in the kingdom. And again, speaking to some guys who feels to me like they were probably trying to get a higher position. And the last passage I'm going to look at with you this morning out of Matthew is Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 28, the passage that was read to us earlier this morning. And here's the mother of two of the boys. Let's see, James and John, what was their nickname? What did Jesus call them? Sons of Thunder. You know, they must have been really kind of aggressive sort of lads. And Jesus called them the sons of Thunder. And their mother comes. Sounds like she's kind of a little bit of want jockeying for position, isn't she? Jesus, can you give me a favor? What is it? Let my two sons, one at the right, one at the left. What is she saying? Give them power. Give them positions of authority. Give them prestige. She's not coming saying, Jesus, come and let them be a slave to all. Now, if they get the power, she will have a little bit of herself vicariously, won't she? And so she's wanting the power. And Jesus says, look at this, verse 22. Can you imagine, everybody, can you imagine? You're standing there, you're talking to Jesus, you ask him a question, and he says, verse 22, you don't know what you're asking for. Can you imagine getting that response from him? I thought I knew what I was saying. Now, Jesus, you don't even know what you're asking for, lady. That, I think, should have stunned her a little bit, maybe made her take a step back. But it doesn't seem like it did, because the boy say, he says, Jesus says, can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? Even after Jesus has said, you don't even know what you're asking for, they say, we can do it. We got it. We're sons of thunder. And then Jesus goes on and he says, it's not for me to give you the place where you're going to sit. Verse 24, the 10 become indignant, very angry with the two brothers. There's a lot of speculations why they were indignant. Maybe it was because they were wanting those positions. Maybe it was because the boys were wanting to get ahead of them, whatever the case may be. And Jesus says, verse 25, you're acting like the world. You're acting like the world. The rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. They're just lording over people. Just that doesn't sound good. But he said, that's what they're doing. Not so with you. Not so with you. Do not do that. Isn't that what he's saying? Don't do that. Instead, what do you do? Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Most people are not looking for servanthood and to be a slave to other people. Jesus' kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. It is different than the rules of the world. And it is a kingdom where people serve. They willingly make themselves slaves. In our culture, slavery was a bad thing, a very bad thing. And I don't think anybody is happy with that part of our history. It was a sad, bad part of our history. But Jesus says, you as my disciple, you want to be great? Just willingly make yourself a slave to others. Yikes, and that is hard for us to hear. You willingly make yourself to be a servant. You're not going to be lording it over other people. You are going to be submitting and serving. You're not looking to have all the power and authority. You're looking who I can serve, who I can help. Have you guys seen some good examples of servanthood as you've gone through life? Maybe some people who just would serve and they didn't care who knew about it. My dad for so many years did so many things that none of us kids ever knew about. And most everybody else didn't either. And occasionally word would get back to me, you know, your dad's paying my tuition at OC. I'm studying to be a preacher. He's paying my tuition. A guy told my brother years ago, you know, your granddad, he's the one who brought us cattle every year, steers every year, to York College. He would bring them up to York College so we could have meat for the school year and cut our costs down. That's just servanthood. We never knew about that. They never told us about that. I had friends that come to me and said, your dad just kept helping me when I had just on and on, just quiet servanthood. What could I do? We would go down to Quartz Mountain Christian Camp. My dad was on the founding board there. We would go down every year and clean the camp at least two times a summer. You can imagine what you were finding in those cabins. Just let your mind race and you're probably there, you know. But my dad, it was... He just said, we're doing it. Let's go. We're going to do that. And so many other things like that. You've seen other people that have just served and served and served. They weren't asking for anything. They didn't want any accolades. They didn't want anyone to know about it. And this is what Jesus is calling us to. Guys, you want to be great in his kingdom? there's three ways we can do it. And then, you know, you're probably already way ahead of me thinking of Philippians chapter 2, where it says that Jesus emptied himself, came from heaven. What would that even have been like, you know? Coming from heaven. Oh, boy. And he comes down here and he just serves people. I think he's kind of in charge in heaven with the Father. And he comes down here and people are ignoring him, treating him badly, abusing him. And he just pours out his life. In Philippians 2, Paul says he emptied himself and took on the very nature, the form of a servant. Guys, that's what he's calling us to today. I know many of you are doing that already. I don't want any of you to ever think, I don't think you are, that I'm telling you anything new. I'm not. I know that. I am reminding you, greatness in his kingdom is through learning his word and teaching it to other people. Greatness in his kingdom is humbling ourselves like a little child. And greatness in his kingdom is through servanthood. Not expecting anything in return, but humbling servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. 9, verse 19. Paul is saying that as he taught people, he made himself what? A servant to all in order to win some. Guys, that is what God is calling us to. Thank you for being with us this morning. And let me remind you, God is not calling us just to worship. God is not calling us just to give. He's calling us to move beyond just being here. And as we are in the world, to love, to serve, to humble ourselves, and he will bless us as we do that. I am grateful we have a loving Savior who came and gave up what he'd had in heaven, and he set that aside and took on the form of a servant and served his disciples and served us through so many ways and ultimately through giving his life on the cross. And because of Jesus, we have life. We have hope. When things are bad in this world, we know with him we can have joy and peace even with bad things happening. What a beautiful thing. If anyone needs prayers of the church this morning, we're going to sing this song to encourage you to respond. If you'd like to be baptized into Christ, we'd love to do that for you this morning. Any way we can help you spiritually, come let us know and we'll stand and sing this song together.